John, you want to add something to this? Do you have a thought about this?
No, I think it's on the right track. I guess I would caution against, I'll take the opposite approach, which is when we begin to spell out specific types of businesses, that's great for today, but what if there's a new business tomorrow that comes up that we want to call out and say we don't want to do business with? I think trying to be more specific in a case like this may not serve us in the long term as well. But to get started, I don't really have any objection. I think it's in pretty good shape the way it is at this point.
All right.
Jim, this is Heather.
Go on, Heather.
No, I just also appreciate the discussion. And I must apologize to everyone because just as we started this meeting, I got word that one of my good friends in Texas, Thomas Muhammad, passed today. I had no idea. Just so you all know, he was instrumental in creating this remarkable film about Malcolm X and overwhelming the Black Power movement. So he was a dear friend. So I'm preoccupied. So, sorry.
Sorry to hear that, Heather.
Yes.
You should repeat for the folks out there in the audience and people on this committee, because his film on Malcolm was brilliant. Anyway. All right, so, Alex, do you want to read how that language sounds? And that big paragraph there?
Well, I'll read that one paragraph. And
yeah.
I really don't think we need to be all this specific, but I'm going along with the group. Stations in the program will accept underwriting based on the needs of the station, availability of airtime, website availability, and compatibility with our programming and mission. As a basic matter of policy, the station will not accept financial support from any entity whose business practices conflict with our mission statement and programming, which kind of, I think we don't really need that thing at the end either, because we already say that. Therefore, no agreement shall be entered into with any entity that, oh, I'm going to double word here, that has a record that is anti-labor, anti-environment, support for fossil fuels, supports big pharma, supports agribusiness, supports real estate developers, supports Wall Street, supports nuclear technology, supports big tech's invasion of our privacy, promotes racism or sexism, militarism, nationalism, and xenophobia, or supports the abridgment of the rights of women to control their own bodies or the rights of the LGBTQ community for full equality or the rights of immigrants or any other business whose values are deemed incompatible for the station or Pacifica.
Chris to the stack.
Come on, Chris.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Alex. How about instead of the catch-all, let's replace therefore with for example at the beginning of that paragraph.
Yeah, that's good. Then we don't have to go on and list every single thing that we're opposed to.
Yeah, just to give people a flavor of what we're objecting to as
I'm not clear what you want to do.
Oh, replace the word therefore with for example. And then
for example, no agreement shall be entered.
Yeah,
that does read better. I agree.
And then at the end, you can delete my my catch-all. I don't think it's needed because it's already stated at the beginning of the paragraph.
Yeah, exactly.
You could actually move the catch-all to the right before the.
I think it's up there, Jim, in the paragraph. It's like stated in two or three different ways, in fact. As a matter of basic policy, the station will not accept financial support from any entity whose business practices conflict with the mission statement or programming. I think that's a pretty good catch-all, too.
Agreed. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
All right. Any other parts of it? Mr. McFadden, you had some other ideas about revisions?
Yeah, they're both in the chat. And the thing that I think is most critical is that any underwriting plan really needs the okay. It can't just be left to the managers and to the executive director, I think. It really has to, because this is a slippery slope, it really needs to have some approval. And I think both the LSB ought to approve it as part of the process, and then it should go up to the PNB.
Yeah, I would absolutely oppose that. This is an operational function. The LSB does not supervise operational functions of the stations. It doesn't supervise it. It can make recommendations. It can review performance. Once you get into the LSB supervising the direct operations of the station, then you're really getting into a slippery slope.
Well, let me just put it in context. The LSB, I think, we just increased from $5,000 to $10,000, the amount that our management can spend without approval, but there's a limit there. And when you and in these kind of cases, if there could be significant money here. I think it's just an approval level that's needed, and maybe you could say, okay, if it's less than, $1,000 or something, maybe it doesn't need approval, but underwriting can be significant dollars. I mean, we're hoping it's significant dollars. And if it is, then I think it falls kind of in that same kind of category, if some mom and pop place, puts up $500 and gets their name mentioned, I don't give a shit about that. But I'm really do worry about, any significant money that comes in on underwriting and how that's just going to have some influence. Mm-hmm. And I think that should be part of the purview of the LSB and the PNB.
No.
Can't be left to the people who are making their living off it, because they're going to say, I want to raise this stuff here, and I'm going to vote for that.
So you think the LSBs are going to be more objective than your local management?
They're just having a different perspective. They're going to protect, the reputation more, I think, than management. That's my opinion. I mean, not every, of course, there's people that might not, but I think, that's our job is to do that. What do you think our job is?
Your job is to provide some oversight, and that oversight, it's in the bylaws. You do a performance review of management. On the PNB, you can hire and fire management. You have plenty of oversight. But what you shouldn't be doing is supervising the day-to-day operations of the stations. That's not the purview of the board, local or national.
This is really going to be critical to our reputation. If some general manager decides, gosh, we're really hurting this month, we're going to accept the money from this corporation, and nobody else has in the LSB or PNB, has any option to veto it. I just see that as a real problem.
Well, if you see something like that, then you, if you're on the PNB, then you inform the executive director that.
Oh, come on. That's going to take months, and months, and it's going to be too late. It's just like, this is something I think is just, if we're going to do underwriting, it really has to have a huge amount of oversight, or we shouldn't be going.
Well, I think what you're proposing is just going to kill any possibility of underwriting, frankly.
Well, and I don't. So we have different opinions. And I'm on this committee, so I get to voice my opinion.
Absolutely. We have different opinions, and we should discuss the differences. Absolutely.
All right. Jim, you finished?
Yeah, I'm done. There's the other thing, too, is I think also that, the idea of the word discourage you know, people from doing this. I think it'll just forbid. I think that word has to be changed to forbid, and there has to be some teeth in it, you know. And so I also suggested, you know, forbid, you know, under penalty of dismissal. You know, because if we really want to say that we're going to prevent, you know, underwriting, you know, from destroying any kind of, you know, mission that we have, you know, which we've seen happen, you know, at NPR, then I think it really has to, you know, you have to let people know that this is an important aspect. And I think the only way is to have some teeth in that.
What paragraph are you talking about, Jim?
If you say, station, there's a, it's a few more paragraphs down. It says the station in the program, shall discourage direct contact. I'm just saying discourage is just not strong enough that, you know, that forbid direct contact under penalty of dismissal.
Alex, what's your opinion about that? Alex?
My opinion, that's just too harsh. We certainly don't want the producers to actually engage the underwriters in a contract, but that doesn't mean that they can't call somebody up and ask them if they're interested in underwriting, and then if they are, to give those people the contact information for whoever's in charge of the underwriting, you know, process. I think that's just being, you know, that's just too extreme. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to hear what other people think there.
Could you scroll down a little bit? Where are you talking about, Jim? What paragraph is that?
The dismissal?
Yeah, that you wanted to put the wording in forbid. Where is that?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. The station in the program shall discourage direct contact?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's hold that.
I mean, I think you put in the alternative.
Let me give you an example. Say you have a producer who has a music program, and he has previously done events at places like Sound of Brazil, which is a place that's in New York that does Latin music. And we've had events there, by the way. You think it would be terrible if that person suggests to the owner of Sounds of Brazil, maybe you'd be interested in doing some underwriting, and I can't guide you through the process myself, but if you are interested, maybe you can call this number and speak to the person and so on. I mean, do you think that would be a terrible thing?
Well, let me add to that before McFadden responds. You know, music programming in different stations, what I'm discovering is that the stations that have established relationships with clubs, with venues where bands appear and have done that historically over a long period of time, they tend to do better in their fundraising. And so the question, and then there's something I think in the air, as Alex and others of us know, to basically have a relationship with a venue, which would be, in a sense, an underwriter, and it would have to, of course, have some relationship with the programming staff who are concerned with that type of music. So I can see that this is a little bit of a quandary, at least with that kind of thing. But Jim McFadden, I know I see Beth and Sue wanted to jump in on this, but do you have any response?
Let me just say that I think elsewhere in this, I have to go back and look, but we don't use the word firewall, but I thought elsewhere in this, you know, there was going to be some kind of firewall between, you know, the people that are working out the underwriting and the producers that are making the product, you know, that's appearing, so that there wouldn't be direct influence on the product that we're putting out on the radio waves. And, you know, so I don't know how you You know, you do that. If you're going to have the underwriting where they're going to get, you know, the plug, there needs to be some kind of firewall if we're going to keep that kind of, you know, separation. And, you know, I'm not too worried about, you know, the underwriter in this case, you know, so you can give an example where an underwriter says, you know, I really like this, you know, this song, you know, I really like you to play it, but, you know, as I'm underwriting, you know, that just wouldn't make much difference to me, but it would, but if that same kind of conversation happened, you know, with the news team or with, somebody who's doing, interviews and stuff, you know, I really don't want you, you know, I really want to underwrite your show. I love your show, but, you know, I don't want to get talking about Israel. You know, I don't like that. You know, I mean, I don't want to have those kind of conversations. So I really think that firewall has to be there for those, departments or those programs. And if that, you know, ends up hurting, you know, the music station, you know, on what songs it plays, you know, maybe it can't play that Jerry Garcia song or something, you know, well, you know, that doesn't bother me. I don't think, just don't see that as being that important.
Yeah. Who is Stay Hill Map? Who is that? All right. Anyway, somebody came in. Go on, Beth.
Thank you. Am I on?
I'm Staha Mealy.
Yeah, but you're, hold on a second. How'd this happen? All right. Well, just please mute Stay Hill. Okay. Go on, Beth.
Thank you. Yeah. First of all, not all of us can see the chat. So if there's side discussion going on, we won't know about it unless it's emailed to us or spoken out loud. And it's frustrating that I know that I don't know what's going on in this meeting. I know in other meetings that has tended to drive the agenda in ways that those of us who are only on by phone can't be aware of. So please take that into account. I've got a couple other questions on this. In listing what we don't want to fund, are we going to take a stand on accepting money from political candidates or initiatives? I mean, maybe there are restrictions on that already in the CPB or FCC stuff, but do they forbid underwriters from
nonprofits? Nonprofits can't. That's electioneering. Yeah. Nonprofits can't.
Right.
Go ahead, go on, Beth. We were just agreeing that you're right. There are some things that do restrict that already. But go ahead.
Right. I want to be sure that we, whatever we do about it, we do it consciously and deliberately, and that we know what we're doing, and that we're first of all clear to stay on the right side of the regulations. And then if that gives us any kind of leeway, we should address it deliberately. Beyond that, I want to agree with Mr. McFadden about the need for review and oversight by governance. And I'll go back to this Google Ads example again, because it's real and because it was substantive. I heard about it. I found out about it only because the then general manager at our station bragged about it in one of his monthly dispatches. Look, we got more money in. I brought in more money, blah, blah, blah. I've never yet been able to find that listed in any of our accounting. I haven't seen the contract. This was $120,000 from Google Ads at a time that we were saying on the air that we didn't take corporate funding. And I don't, that, even knowing about it, I can't track it down. And I shouldn't have to beat the bushes to get that information. Whatever we put in place now, I think should prevent something like that from happening. And we need some place, some mechanism within oversight, so that all of this is reviewed routinely by some entity of governance, maybe presented to them as a, I don't know, quarterly report from management to this oversight body, that into the PND, so that we know what all the sources are of income, so that if there is something like this buried in there somewhere, we have some way of knowing it and tracking it down and deciding whether this fits or not. I agree that management considerations about these things are likely to be different from what governance considerations are. Not that that's bad or wrong. They'll just be different. And we need to make sure that we're not cutting corners there. And finally, on the issue of underwriting being tied to programming, I think it was Dan McCrory, who chairs our community advisory board now and has a world of experience with other community advisory boards on other, with other organizations. He first, I think it was from him that I learned that, underwriting, I think it was in the regs that they said underwriting was deliberately tied to the program it funded, as transparency to the listeners, so that listeners know what money is behind what they're hearing. And where I, not that it applied in this case because this is a commercial example, but to me it makes a difference knowing that 75% of the evening news, the national news, mainstream news, is funded by Pfizer. 75%. That's huge. And we wouldn't know that if it weren't deliberately tied to what it's funding, so that you can see whether it's having an influence, so that you can see what perspective is being represented. I don't have that document in front of me, but I think I'll do my best to track it down to see if that can help shed some light on whatever we say about it in our document here. And I'll sit down for the moment. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Can I respond?
Yeah, go on, Alex.
I think the problem Beth is pointing to is simply a problem of whether management is accountable to the governance bodies or not. And it's not simply in this particular situation of underwriting. Let me give you an example.
Right.
We had, last year, we had some amendments that were proposed. I wrote some of them. And all the station managers were supposed to implement the announcements, you know, there was supposed to be daily announcements and so on of the impending vote on the amendments. Well, guess what? The general manager of KPFA completely ignored that directive. No announcements were made on that station, and I think one or two other stations also ignored it. So that was just an example of local management in this case simply falling down on the job, not doing what they were supposed to do. And does that mean then that the LSB or the PNB should have a policy that we have to watch, that, you know, that the general managers of each station have to report to us on a weekly basis that they're carrying out the mandate that they're supposed to carry out in relation to the publicizing the amendments that are up for a vote? No, I think that gets kind of ridiculous, and I think it's the same thing here. I think the problem is you have to have some kind of accountability from management, and if they're not following the policy, they have to be, you know, that has to be followed through a performance review or whatever mechanism the governing body does. I don't think it makes any sense to create some kind of a supervisory role for either the local board or the national board to force management to adhere to policies. Then you're saying governance has the right to supervise the day-to-day operations of management at the stations, and I don't think that makes any sense, and it'll never work anyway. I mean, it's just a formula for disaster.
Beth, do you want to comment, reply?
Yeah, thank you, yes. I think that our responsibility as governance is largely oversight. And if there aren't processes put in place to do that, then you're leaving it to chance and anybody's guess. And it was mere chance that I found out about the Google Ads thing. Nobody else has tracked it down yet. I don't want to have to wonder what's going on out there. And honestly, Pacifica has less in terms of a management reporting to governance than about any other organization I've been in. I mean, these are not, it's not intended as a hot seat. It's intended as routine reporting so that we have a record, so that we know, so that everybody can go and see what we've done, ourselves, governance included, because if there's not some record like that, if there's not some reporting process, then we're just kind of taking it on faith that they understood what we meant, that they agree with it enough to abide by it, that they're actually keeping track, and our track record that way has not been good. I think it's especially where money is involved and accounting, and where principles of where we get our funding from are involved. I think there especially we need some kind of process of reporting. So I'll stand by that. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Beth. Before I bring Susan on, I want to make clear that for those in the audience and also those who are joining this meeting by phone, we're trying to, as much as possible, make accessible to you the chat that's being written here, because most of it we've been talking about and using it to modify the document as we've been talking about. But go on, Sue.
Okay. I think that the whole conversation about music versus public affairs helped really elucidate what the issues were that Jim McFadden has and I have, and what Jim Dingman, you brought up, the relationships between the music programmers and clubs and so forth. That is, it is a sort of an ecology unto itself, and we need to be able to interact with the people who understand those things. I do like the idea of a firewall, that there is a firewall between programmers and the decisions and the agreements that are set up about underwriting. Regarding management and LSVs and so forth, our LSV, ugh, what a nightmare. But our general manager reports at every LSV meeting. He sends a written report in advance, and we can request that updates about underwriting be on that report. Similarly, I would think that just as the plans for the pilot project underwriting are going to go through the finance committee to look at their financial feasibility and responsibility, perhaps the proposed underwriting lists are submitted to, and there's a report to the strategic planning committee. And if there are issues that are raised in that, it's something that there may be some further discussion about here or even brought to the attention of the PNB. But approval by LSB and approval by PNB, I think, is not a good relationship between management, you're holding accountable to do their job, and governance oversight. I think that periodic reporting handles that.
All right. Before we continue, Chris has pointed out that we're 15 minutes from time certain, and I at least would like to get, by the end of this, a consensus of whether we're going to pass this and send it on up. I personally would like to pass it and send it on up so we can have a further debate about it before it's made in policy. But James, go on, James. Sagerton. Jim?
Okay, yeah, thank you. I think we have to be careful in some regards about
what we expect from management. Sometimes we discuss these things as if we were in some removed world where we're trying to achieve a perfect harmony in the way we do these things. And in fact, we are in Pacifica, where at some stations, increasingly at stations, we have less and less management doing more and more things. And if we put a whole nother layer of responsibility on them and things they have to watch and they have to do, it becomes difficult. I don't know what the future holds for that. I mean, are we going to have a situation where the boards have to start stepping in and assisting management in some of their functions? It's already happening in some places, I know. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. We had a situation in New York where we had some public service announcements that we got, from the city. I think, you know, mostly advising pedestrians not to get harmed by traffic and, you know, advising motorists to not run down pedestrians and that sort of thing. You know, kind of harmless, no-brainer kind of stuff. But the question is, you know, did we need a whole layer of, policy and, you know, did we have to come up with a policy and procedures for how that should be done, which basically seems like overkill because we got a couple of PSA announcements that, you know, brought us maybe $10,000, you know, and we don't know where that's going to go. So in connection to that, or sort of a step sideways from that, I'm also curious, you know, I've been told that our model, although I don't see it in our bylaws, but I'm told that one of the models for Pacifica is that we have activist groups and they come to the station and they use us as a platform and they speak to the public and then they in turn attract their members to become members of Pacifica. And that's how one of the ways that we build our membership. And yet I think, and I know that there are some programs at some stations that are run by members of organizations. So, you know, whether they be organizations dealing with housing or, you know, some other kind of organization. And yet we're saying that such organizations cannot even talk to our staff about underwriting, let alone be from an organization that's going to sponsor and possibly underwrite a program. And I know that some people consider that a very big no-no to have a, you know, an organization directly sponsor a program. So I need more clarity on that just myself. I'll have to do my own homework, but if anybody else can steer me in a right direction in that regard, I would appreciate it.
All right, McFadden. Jim.
Okay, sorry, just had to unmute. I just wanted to say that, you know, it's being said that it's like this horrible burden to ask the LSB if a proposed underwriter is okay. And I mean, it seems like we got this little form that's part of this presentation that says, you know, we're going to do, here's the proposed, you know, funding by underwriting, and it's going to somehow be part of budgets. As soon as that form's filled out, you know, why isn't that made available to the LSB and they just okay it at the next meeting, or they okay it, you know, online, you know, you could just have an online vote, you know, just majority to pass it on. And similar with the PNB. I mean, we meet every damn week on the PNB, so like it's not that any kind of delay in there is not that big a deal. You know, and again, this is as I recall, this is an experiment. This is we don't know, you know, what's going to work and what's not going to work. So if we're going to start this experiment, let's be a little careful, you know, so we don't blow ourselves up, you know, mix the wrong chemicals and get an explosion here in our face. I think being a little cautious, if we find out, hey, maybe we were overcautious, we can relax that, you know, 6 months, you know, if this thing passes 6 months later, it can get relaxed. But I think we should go into this very, very cautious and, you know, with a lot of, checks and balances, you know, to make sure what Beth talked about happening, you know, doesn't happen, at several stations. And then all of a sudden we find our base gets pissed off at us, you know, and we, and our revenues drop. So.
Yeah. Of course, Jim. Okay. Let's Beth go on. I'll bring Lawrence in a second. Go on, Beth.
Thanks. I agree that we need, a process of oversight, a routine, normal, regular process of oversight. And if there were, an entity, a P&B entity, a committee or a work group or task force or whatever, whose job it was to review that and bring it regularly and then bring it report to the P&B, that might work. At speaking from my own experience with, I've only been part of one LSB, and I know at ours, this is too, this is a factional issue, and there will be factional votes, and it may also fall along the lines of what programming people want to support and what programming they just as soon see fail. And it would be very, very, very political and factional, and we're already split enough. It would not be on practical grounds. So I'm personally, given our local experience, I have reservations about, making the LSB a gatekeeper. I do think there should be some place for, if there are LSB members who have concerns about what's going on, there should be an entity, I would suggest at the P&B, where they can bring their concerns forth, who will then look into them. And that's because that's complicated, because all of this is complicated, I would like to suggest that, and because we don't have another P&B meeting for at least the next week or so, I would like to suggest that we take a little more time with this. There's no fire. There's no deadline by which we have to get this done within the next week or so. And I, for one, haven't had the time to give to it, to go over it the way I would like to. And especially with more input from tonight, I'd like to carry this over for another, week or so to, so that we can do justice to it.
All right. Well, I've read all the material about this. This issue has been debated for 15 years within the foundation. I would like to move this motion tonight. I hear you, Beth. This is going to be modified anyway. We know people are going to have a heart attack about this stuff. But let me bring Lawrence in. Go on, Lawrence.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. Good evening, everyone. I think, to coin it a factional issue where both factions or whatever faction people belong to has changed its position on underwriting. The fact that it has gotten to this point, really indicates that,
I'm trying to be at this meeting.
Alex, you have to mute.
So the fact that many of us who have been against underwriting and even those, on the other side have been against underwriting, the fact that this has a sea change has been seen in regards to this, the fact that we're seriously considering this, I just wouldn't want for it to be sequestered, as I said earlier at the Program Oversight Committee meeting, that we just don't impose this on the other speeds and onto the listeners without having some kind of candid discussion at the other speeds in regards to any proposal that may come out of this committee. And I agree with Jim, and I see that Alex is on the call. We have been having this conversation for many years, and a lot of us have been on polar opposite ends, but on underwriting, we've been pretty much along the same lines that we were very concerned about underwriting. But the fact that this conversation has taken place and that is being considered really indicates the change that has happened within the network in regards to underwriting. So I'm cautiously open to the whole concept of underwriting, but yet I also believe that that our listeners and that the other speeds should be included and just in the discussion, get input and ideas in regards to you know, this whole underwriting proposal, this whole underwriting concept. Thank you, Jim.
All right, thank you, Lawrence. I'd like to call the question. Are there any opposition to calling the question to support this document that has been revised tonight?
Griff, point of information?
Yes, Jim.
So I assume this is without the last two, without any changes that are the last two changes I suggested. Is that correct?
I think your changes, which other, I think we put in more or less, Alex, have we put in more or less all the changes that, that Jim McFadden was talking about?
No.
No. He put in, he wants some kind of.
Oh, the four did, right.
I wanted to discourage.
Kind of, he wants some kind of veto power for the LSBs.
That's right.
If you want that, you really should just put in a formal amendment or something and let the group discuss it and vote on it. At this point, I'm kind of agreeing with Beth that if we're going to make a major change to this document, then we should probably just consider it next week.
You're going to be in Europe, right?
Well, I won't be available Monday, but if you want to schedule something for any day, yes, I'll be in Europe, but you know, I've taken calls at two or three in the morning before, I was chairing meetings until 7:30 in the morning at times. So, you know, these things happen.
All right. Now we had a time certain at 10:30. Can I move to extend for 10 minutes? Any opposition? All right, I hear none. Okay, Jim, go on, Jim. Jim Sagerton.
No, I wasn't requesting the floor.
All right, let's see. Beth, did you want to say something?
Well, you asked for opposition to making a decision tonight, and I had just expressed reservations about pushing forward. I'm going to agree with Alex agreeing with me that I think it's not as if there's a deadline by which we have to have this done this week, and we have the time to consider it. There have been a lot of issues brought up tonight. I think they're legitimate issues. I think we have legitimate concerns here, and it deserves more time, again, to do it justice.
All right. Is that the sense of everybody here? Because I don't want to, you know, I know the reason why we're arguing this to start with is the financial crisis, and we're trying to think practically of other income streams. But is it the consensus of the body to put this off next week, and we'll set a time to have a meeting next week to further have this discussion? Is that, is that everybody agrees with that?
Can I make a point of personal privilege, Jim?
No, Jim.
I think it was me that was saying what changed my mind about this was the financial crisis. I think Alex specifically said that shouldn't be why we're doing this. We should have done this a long time ago. So even that's somewhat controversial.
I agree with you, Jim. But anyway, is the sense of the body that we put this off for next week and we come back at it again next week?
I'll say for myself, I could use another period of time to think about it.
All right.
And hopefully get some input from people about the questions I asked about, you know, groups sponsoring shows that are on the air now that seem to be sponsored by groups.
Right. Is it so
underwriting
that's really
that seems to have gone on already. Some say we've been doing underwriting at KPFK for a long time. So I need more clarity on exactly what's been going on. And
Jim, can I make a quick request? I definitely, as a director, I would definitely like to be invited to the next meeting. Thank you.
Sure.
Directors are always invited, right, Lawrence?
Yeah, that's why we passed that.
We made sure of that.
Yeah, check it out. Anyway, yeah, of course. And look, you know, that we know that there's all sorts of disagreements about this. I was listening to the meeting earlier at KPFK. We know these are disagreements. They're very, very valid. Everything's valid. But anyway, okay, so I agree we will pick a date next Thursday. Is there a PNB meeting? I'm not looking at KPTFX right now.
No, there's no meeting. There's no meeting.
There's a coordinating
committee. All right, so why don't we do...
There's a coordinating
committee. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that would interfere with us. Yeah, go on, Beth.
No, this is Heather, actually.
Oh, Heather, go on.
No, I'm going to be quick because I'm glad we're going to have more of a discussion about this because, okay, our station's been underwriting for years and years. As we were having this discussion, it's interesting to me because people are bringing up issues that I hadn't really thought of before. And one of the things I've realized at our station is that the underwriter is independent of all of the programs, basically. I mean, they don't give our underwriter the person who's doing the underwriting work, any advice on anything. And so I called him while we were talking about this, and he said, well, Heather, one of the critical things is that the FCC has regulations that we need to look into, because apparently the FCC states that programmers should have no influence on the underwriting, period. So we need to look more at those regulations. I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, so. Those regulations are at the end of this document, by the way. I should also add that, look at Cody's bookstore in Berkeley. Chris knows this, or Jim McFadden knows this. I mean, who would ever object to them advertising on KPFA? I mean, really. There's just certain things about this, and in some ways, the whole premium-oriented, process of fundraising for decades has essentially, involved indirectly to some extent underwriting, if you look at it objectively. But anyway, alright, so we'll put this off for another week, okay? And we'll put it into KPTFX. And yes, Lawrence, you can, City Lights, absolutely. City Lights Bookstore. What a great place. We should be cooperating with City Lights Bookstore as a publisher nationwide, frankly. Or Monthly Review Press, or Pluto Press, or Verso Press. There's all sorts of
things. Point of order?
Yeah, go on.
To handle this properly, do you want to have because there's a motion on the floor, do you want to have and there was a call of the question. Do you want to have a motion to postpone voted on?
Correct. Yeah, let's just postpone the whole thing.
Motion to postpone.
Any objection?
Is there any opposition?
No. Okay, great. All right.
Can I have a point of information?
Yeah, go on, Jim.
I just want to say I'm going to be in Orcas Island, you know, probably out of contact next week. And so somebody save the chat and please address my two concerns. I think Heather touched on one of them. Beth touched on one of them that were not addressed. I'll just hope that you guys do that, but I'm not going to be able to be in the meeting next week.
Could we save the chat and have it sent around to everybody?
Yeah.
Jim, why don't you just send the wording of your proposed amendment to the group? You know, even if you're not going to be here, we can still discuss it.
Okay.
By the way, could I get a sense of the group here that the motion to postpone was, to postpone to the next meeting, I think is what the sense of the motion was. Is that correct?
Correct.
Good.
All right. Well, I make a motion to adjourn.
Damn Yankees lost again, man.
We'll get into that later. All right. All right.
Thanks,
good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.